but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured K&K has brought quality care to your home with a proven safe truck-mounted hot water extraction process that is pH-balanced, allergen-free, and safe for the environment. Tile, grout, heat transfers, and water damage care also available. For your free estimate, call K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery, 303-237-4655. Ask about the KHNC discount on your first cleaning. That's 303-237-GO-KK.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is our regular Friday morning guest, Joel Skousen. We'll be with Joel in just a moment. I just wanted to comment on what we're seeing taking place today. Our president has said, I don't want to run a motor company. I mean, a government should not be running a motor company. We're going to get out of this as soon as we can. And yet they've literally ordered General Motors to drop a number of their lines, Hummer, Pontiac, and some of the other lines that have been there for many years. They've just told them what to do. They've told them to cut back on their number of dealers across America, and somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 people who have had a contractual arrangement with General Motors for many years and have large sums of money invested in their stock and in their dealerships and their property have suddenly been stripped of their ownership. We're told that the government doesn't want to run the company, and yet, of course, they're going to end up with the majority of the stock in the company. And, of course, they've gone ahead and made arrangements for certain favored people to get large sums of money. We're talking, we've already put in $20 billion. We're talking about putting another $30 billion into a company that's making lots of money in China and in Brazil and in Russia, where it has factories. Why aren't those factories putting money in to bail out General Motors here in the United States as one corporation? Oh, we wouldn't want to interfere with those companies, we are told. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're really seeing is the transfer of wealth from the American people to the oligarchs here in the United States. And certainly the major banks that had lent a great deal of money to General Motors, they took a chance, they lost, and they're going to get compensated. They're going to get money. We're going to put $50 billion here into this corporation, and there's no guarantee that any of this money will ever get out. Certainly, General Motors does not produce as good cars as the Japanese, and that was planned many years ago. If you doubt it, you need to get our four-tape set on the New Order of the Barbarians, where in 1969, they were already planning on transferring a major production of vehicles to other countries.
Well, and I'm back, Dr. Stan.
Go, and I'm going to let Joel go right ahead.
And tell me what you were speaking of. I just got back on the line.
Oh, I was speaking of a four-tape set. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians. It was recorded in the early 1990s with a Dr. Dunnigan, who in 1969 had heard a talk given by Dr. Richard Day, who was the medical director or former medical director of Planned Parenthood, who told a group of doctors up in Pittsburgh that there was a long-range plan by the group who really ran the country, and one of those plans involved shifting the production of cars to Japan and to foreign countries, and that we would intentionally not produce as good cars here as they produced in other countries. This was 1969, and all of the things, so many of the things, that's just part of a small part of what Dr. Dunnigan said in the interviews we have recorded with him about what he heard in 1969. Well, would you go ahead and pick up the story? I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, the top story of today's World Affairs Brief is about Obama's Cairo speech. Now, the main story is going to be about the horrific effects of this bankruptcy of GM and Chrysler and the unfairness and the favoritism that have been played. But, you know, this week, President Obama made his first foray into the Muslim world, ostensibly trying to patch things up with the Arab culture that has come to view America, after all the Bush years of intervention, as an enemy. Now, after assiduously evading his own middle name, Hussein, his birth in Kenya, background as a Muslim during his campaign and first months of the presidency, suddenly the new president found a form in which all this could be selectively trotted out to please his Cairo audience. And so instead of hiding all these things, as he and his campaign and everyone in the media has done for months and months, suddenly this was something that he could brag about, that he had a father born in Kenya. He wouldn't admit that he was born in Kenya. You know, that he went to school in Indonesia, and he says, I heard the call of the Azan at the break of dawn and the fall of dusk. Naturally, of course, he never admitted to ever being a Muslim or practicing Muslim rituals. He said, although I'm a Christian. Well, the president's speeches are masterful in their art of trying to please everyone, one audience at a time. And Obama is certainly counting on the fact that these kinds of minority groups and focus groups have long memories about glorious promises tailored to their specific needs, and they have little tolerance for checking up later on to see if Obama fulfills any of those promises. And he never does follow through. In fact, his actions down the line make him look more like a chronic liar than the statesman the media keeps wanting to portray him. Well, you know, the media, predictably, was effulgent in their praise, but the Muslim world, even the Muslim world, was skeptical, except, of course, for his host in Egypt and the Saudis, which are puppets of any U.S. administration. As I say, a lot of the Arabs took great offense at the fact that, you know, he played up to Mubarak, which they view as a dictator who has suppressed human rights. Obama praised the Saudi king. And, of course, the Saudis are very hypocritical. They're not religious at all, even though they persecute Christians, with the knowing complicity of the U.S. government. I mean, I'm talking about U.S. American citizen Christians who are stationed in Saudi Arabia on military bases or at embassies. And the U.S. helps hunt down their secret locations where they hold Christian services and helps the Saudi religious police expel them from the country. I mean, if the American people knew what this was doing, I mean, it was just, it's criminal. And it's, of course, the greater, more egregious crimes are the fact that the royal Saudi family, known pedophiles, whoremongers, traitors and underage sex slaves, all of this has been documented before, and of course none of this has ever been brought to prosecution by the U.S. government. The British government looks the other way as well. A lot of the Saudi royals go to British hotels for their affairs, and I mean, this is just very hypocritical, the claim to be devout Muslims, when in fact these people are just whoremongers.
But you know, the fascinating thing is we're so critical of the Taliban for cutting off hands and feet and going by Sharia law, but they do the same thing in Saudi Arabia on a regular basis. They have their public beheadings and publicly cut off hands and feet. When was the last time we saw that on 60 Minutes or 2020?
That's right. Well, of course, you know, Egyptians were rightfully disappointed that there was no, you know, mention of the human rights record in Egypt. So,
hold on, we'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen right here, the American Theater Network.
Good news. The March of Faith Ministries presents Pastor Samuel Santos. Come and hear Pastor Santos, the man who died twice. In a 22-year span, he has been in 3 airplane accidents. 19 years ago, he fell in the ice and lost his memory totally. Doctors told his wife because of his age, he would never be normal again. This testimony can make a great impact in your life. In the last 15 years, Brother Santos has been used by God in a mighty way in the communist country of Cuba, establishing Bible schools all over that country. In the last 2 years, 2008 and 2009, he graduated 2,638 students. Pastor Santos will be speaking at the Berthoud Community Center, 248 Welch Avenue at 7:30 p.m. June 5th and 6th. The Johnstown Town Hall at 101 Charlotte Avenue, 7:30 p.m. June 12th and 13th. At the Milliken Town Hall, 1101 Broad Street, 7:30 p.m. June 19th and 20th. And in the town of Meade, 441 3rd Street, June 26th and 27th. For more information, call 303-883-5674. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. and we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Joel, go right ahead.
Well, of course, there was a tremendous amount of dictatorial display of force, the so-called stability that Obama described President Mubarak, or the hallmark of President Mubarak's reign, force for stability. Dissidents say the Capitol was nearly under occupation. Security troops were deployed at the main public squares and metro stations. Citizens were detained en masse. Shops were told to close down in certain areas. Neighboring Cairo University, where Obama was speaking, wouldn't let any shops be open, even in the entire area. The state security police raided and detained at least 200 foreign students and held them without charges in unknown locations. And so, as they said, is there an overarching purpose for Obama's speech? Is it to repair our image after 8 years of a radical right-wing administration? Of course, this is someone who from the left, who views the Bush administration as a right-wing administration. We know it as a globalist administration, only feigning to be right-wing. But if the goal, he said, was to repair our image, then how about shunning the barbaric concept of indefinite detention, which Obama is still championing in the courts? How about heeding the increasing distressed calls of those who view the new administration's actions in the realm of civil liberties as dangerous, disturbing, and a precedent-setting affirmation of Bush's worst excesses? So the left is itself becoming very dissatisfied with Obama. They're noticing that, in fact, he is upholding all of the same globalist legal policies, including surveillance, indefinite detention, the same habeas corpus problems, even though he pays lip service to liberty and safeguarding our civil rights in his speeches. So Obama's going to be known as Obama the Great Hypocrite before his thing is through. Peter Dow, put another scathing rebuke on the Huffington Post, and he also comes from the left, calls himself a progressive. That's the euphemistic term for socialists. They love to pick titles, and the media goes along and calls them progressives as well. But he says, I know many will gush over President Obama's Cairo speech, and I'm like swimming against the tide of the media and my fellow Democrats and progressives. But reading the transcript, I'm struck by two things. One, he said, aside from a few platitudes, it's disappointingly weak on human rights and specifically on women's rights relative to the Muslims. And number two, it betrays a certain naivete about how the Arab world works. He says, the tumultuous and bloody intersection of religions and geopolitical interests in the Middle East is painful to me as a resident of Lebanon. Yes, Obama's targeting the Arab street and global public opinion, but not the corrupt Arab regimes that dominate the region and the world. And his oratory means virtually nothing to these tyrants. Repression and suppression will go on uninterrupted. And to those whose abiding hatred of Israel and thus America is absolute, Obama's words will seem as empty and hypocritical. So nobody's really satisfied, Dr. Stan, except the media. They're the ones that think that this is a wonderful address. This was, I think, probably aimed more at Americans to impress them about this great master communicator who is mollifying the Muslim world and making peace with everyone, but in fact he is satisfying no one because the actions are not there except globalist actions. Even the Pakistanis were skeptical. Catherine Maddox polled several opinions from students and professionals around Islamabad. A law student said that Obama's description of Iraq as, quote, a war of choice struck him as hypocritical. He says, "I'm sorry, Mr. President, it goes much beyond that. As a start, Obama should have expressed not only his regrets, but his apology for the invasion of Iraq." Another university student praised his speech, said his speech was good, but just for listening, not for really understanding what's going on. "I think it's impossible until you solve the Israeli and Palestinian disputes, Pakistan and Afghanistan dispute, and the Iraq dispute." And, of course, as you and I have discussed many times before, we don't think these things are ever going to be resolved. I think they are there for the conflict creation purposes and continued intervention, which Obama is doing just like Bush. He is increasing troops in Afghanistan, and we will see that there will be at least 50 to 75,000 American troops still staying in Iraq after they have supposedly been withdrawn.
The amazing thing about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is we're financing both sides. I mean, we've got a general over there in Jordan, American general, who's training and equipping, I don't know how many brigades, 3 or 6 brigades of Palestinian Liberation Organization military. This is a terrorist organization, and we're financing them and training them militarily and supplying them. At the same time, we're supplying Israel, and people never see the contradiction to what's going on. They just nod their heads as if our leaders know what they're doing, and they do know what they're doing. They have no intention of solving the problem.
That's right, and they intend to continue to feed both sides because war is the way that you accomplish what they want to do. And, the big issue about the Israelis was the fact that, Netanyahu cannot agree. I mean, he got elected as a phony right-wing president. He's got to at least fulfill some of his obligations to the right wing, and the majority of those have to do with promising that there will never be a compromise of the city of Jerusalem, a split city of Jerusalem, allowing the Arabs in there. And, of course, the Arabs are adamant about this. And the other thing is about the settlements. Netanyahu simply cannot at this stage acquiesce to Obama's demands that there be an absolute freeze on settlement activity. Let me speak to the issue of, because this is getting more and more distorted all of the time, we have to talk about the issue of war and occupation to understand the settlement issue. We're really talking about unoccupied land here that used to be part of the or outside of what they call the green zone, used to be part of Jordan when they were occupying after the 1948 war. They occupied the small area around Israel, including half of Jerusalem. And in the 67 war, of course, the Israelis got Jerusalem back. And in subsequent wars, and there have been 5 major wars with the Arab nations against Israel, and the Arabs, first one with British backing and the other 4 with Soviet backing, attacked Israel, and, not counting the great preemptive strike on Egypt, that really wasn't, that was a preemptive strike because Egypt was, in fact, planning on doing a massive attack on Israel. That doesn't really count as an offensive war in Israel because it was, in fact, Egypt that was planning the offense. They just got stomped on before their airplanes got off the ground. But nevertheless, we're talking about 5 wars of aggression. Now, that isn't to say that there wasn't some wrongdoing on Israel's part in the 1948 war in taking over his Arab lands. But nevertheless, there have been 5 wars of aggression since then. And when you conquer... when you lose a war and you get occupied, what that occupation means is, and this is where there is legitimacy in occupation, when you aggress against another country and you lose that war, then you've lost your right to self-governance. And the reason you've lost the right to self-governance is because your government attacked another nation without proper justification. Now, if you're attacked, and they win and occupy, it's never a legal occupation because they aggressed against you if there was no, justification about that. So that's how we have to, in political science, cut the difference between a lawful and proper occupation. Now, that said, it doesn't mean that even though you, let's suppose Israel, they won these wars with the Arabs and they gained occupied territory, that does not mean that they can tyrannize those under those occupied territories. What it does mean is that they are required, since they have destroyed the government of the attackers, which deserve to be destroyed. They lost their right to self-governance because they attacked another country. But it means that when you occupy a country, you have the right to provide the same rights and privileges that you provide your own citizens, as long as the people under the occupation agree to abide in peace and stop their fighting. And so there are some legitimate concerns that we can talk about in Israel not giving full rights and things to other Palestinians. But in fact, I do feel that the occupation should be upheld and that vacant land is free to be settled upon. And I think it's also important to understand this is just an issue of settlements. It's also an issue of water rights. You know, the Jordan Valley and other provides most of the water for all of Israel. Israel has the most productive agriculture of any country in the Middle East. They are a showcase of irrigated crops as well as greenhouses. And, in fact, they feed a good deal of the Arab world out there. And they've taught the Jordanians how to do this agriculture. So when we're talking about, you know, trading land for peace or decrying the occupation isn't necessarily bad, you know, as long as there is a proper defense of the fundamental rights and allowance of people to grow and prosper under a peaceful scenario. And there is improvement certainly that Israel can do in that. But I'm not one to say that we give back autonomy over land to governments who are going to always attack you. And that's why I'm against the two-state solution. You create a Palestinian state, and it's going to be a terror state. It's going to be one that will use as a launching pad continually to attack Israel. Now, that said, I am not in favor of the Israeli government. They are a globalist government. They do things to instigate war. They do things to destroy civilian infrastructure where they don't need to. They allow the terrorists to rise up that they can have further excuses for attacking. And so there's evil on both sides. But there are ways, if we had honest government, if we had, we don't have on either side of this fence, you know, all governments in the world today are controlled to one extent or the other by either the globalists in the world, Anglo-American globalists, or the Russians, or the Chinese. Those are the three centers of power. And there are no independent governments in the world who aren't under the thumb of those three forces. And it's switching. I mean, India, for example, used to be a puppet state of Russia, and now they're transferring their allegiance to, in part, at least to the Anglo-American globalists. And so is Pakistan. They've been wooed away from China. So there's some major sea changes that have been going on. But all of that is going to change once you know, people stop playing these roles, as China playing the role of ally of the West and Russia playing the role of kind of a belligerent ally, and the U.S. covering for both of these people, especially in terms of North Korea, the six-party talks. You know, there was an article the other day by Henry Kissinger talking about how, you know, we've got to continue to work with Russia and China as our partners in the six-party talks. I mean, this is just so much deception, outright deception, because China and Russia have always been, you know, the masters of North Korea. Korea has always been a puppet state for the distribution of arms and nuclear technology in part of Russia and China, and that's not going to change.
And, you know, it's the most incredible thing that nobody here in the United States ever says, how could a third-rate country like North Korea, that can't even feed its own people, develop sophisticated intercontinental ballistic missiles and a nuclear weapon? How could that have happened? Nobody ever asked that question.
Yes, and of course we know that you know, we gave the nuclear technology to Russia. We gave Russia their first nuclear material so they could have a bomb. I mean, these are traitors, these globalists in our own government. This was kind of back in the Roosevelt administration and Truman administration. And sure, there were communist agents involved in them, but they were facilitated by people like Alger Hiss, who I believe was a globalist, and who had joined the Communist Party to facilitate the influx of communists so that, you know, it could be blamed on communists, infiltrators and others, for the rise and the of Russia and China, who through George C. Marshall was Chiang Kai-shek was betrayed and the military aid was cut off so that Mao Zedong could win in China. A lot of Americans, that's ancient history, and don't understand that we, the United States, were absolutely responsible for bringing Mao to power.
We brought the communists to power in China, but the average American has no idea. Now we're building them up with transfer of America's wealth, including General Motors production, to communist China. My goodness, the world is not like it appears. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Phil with WolfAutoGroup.com. We sell new, used trucks, cars, ATVs. We love to barter, horse trade. You know, your valuable things for ours. We also have many willing lenders to finance any difference left over to make your payoff on your automobile. Try us. We will trade for your valuable goods. WolfAutoGroup.com. Local number 303-931-9096. Talk to Mr. Wolf personally for the best location to serve you. Thank you.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stock, certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Every year, a prom or graduation is ruined by an intoxicated driver. Parents, talk to your young adults about the dangers and consequences of driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Remember, celebrating safely creates happy memories for everyone. This message from Jambalaya is you'll enjoy excellent food, beverages, plus top service while you're there. Enjoy the specials listed on their complete menu. They're open hours that are convenient for you, so stop by soon for that family treat. That's Jambalaya's at 109 Colorado Avenue in Marino. Bring all your friends and family in before graduation or call ahead for large or special orders or parties. Donna and staff are proud of our graduates.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And Joel, why don't you tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief if they'd like?
Well, they can subscribe by going to my website. There's a big button saying subscribe, and takes you to a PayPal page where people can use a credit card. It's $48 a year to get my weekly news update and analysis of the news. It's prorated. So that right now it's only about $28 for the rest of the year. So it's a good time to start a a subscription for less than the full price, and one gets one subscribes now, they still get access to the archives so they can read even past briefs. People can also get a sample briefing by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, and we'll be happy to send out a sample of the current brief, and which will be what we're discussing. And anyway, lots of good things on the website, including a rundown on all the top news stories that are posted there by my volunteer researchers. I'm also the author of several books on preparedness for what I think, you know, my philosophy is that even though we try to fight to preserve our liberty, we ought to prepare for war and other potential consequences of what these globalists are taking us into. So I've written a book called The Secure Home, 700-page book from A to Z on high-security construction and self-sufficiency, generators, solar panels, all of the things a person needs to do to be fully prepared with a home that operates even when you know, the power is down and when there may be social unrest. The other book that's been very popular is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. There are many people who live in high-density population areas that really do need to establish some kind of retreat system and contingency plan to be able to leave these centers of what will certainly be massive panic and social unrest under the crises of war or potential you know, economic distress or even earthquake, as you do in California and other natural disasters.
Well, I recommend it to our listeners. It's a wonderful source of information, and I look forward to the World Affairs Brief every Friday when it'll be out today. Anyway, go right ahead, Joel.
Well, you know, speaking of occupations, our occupation of Iraq is going to be known for its many evils and corruption and waste of billions of dollars of taxpayer money. A new scandal has erupted in Iraq. There's stories of new arrests, possibly 1,000 or more. But these are not the former Saddam Hussein Ba'athists or members of the so-called Sunni insurgency. These are officials who are part of the post-Saddam Hussein era, belonging to the government of Nouri al-Maliki. Of course, he has reacted to this by launching a massive anti-corruption campaign, claiming, you know, that I'll root out these evil people within this administration. You know, they always treat this as if these are rogue agents, but in fact, you can't have, you know, this level of corruption, this many thousands, without this being common knowledge within the government and with the collaboration of the people who are supposed to do this. In fact, this is a way of life within in Iraq, and it should have been rooted out as the main criteria of reestablishing a new government for this country, is to not allow this kind of corruption to occur. Anyway, there's been 387 arrest warrants, 51 for senior officials, just below the rank of minister. Now, you just can't tell me that you got 51 senior officials, and al-Maliki can claim to be totally innocent of those. And there's another 997 arrest warrants waiting to be signed. Well, of course, the estimates now are billions of dollars been embezzled and bribed since the downfall of Saddam Hussein. You know, isn't that interesting? We overthrew this government because of its corruption. We overthrew Saddam Hussein because of his torture and because of his waging war on civilians and the civilian deaths that he was causing. And look what we've been causing. I mean, we still have torture going on at secret prisons operating on U.S. military bases run by Iraqis, and the U.S. has got to know about it. And we have this kind of corruption, the same level of corruption. So what has changed? You know, the people are worse off in terms of their electricity, their sewer systems, the free market. You know, they still have to bring in truckloads of food and distribute a food aid to feed the people. They're not self-sufficient of food, so things are still worse than they were under Saddam Hussein.
And I think that is really so important. I mean, Saddam Hussein, they had water, they had electricity, they had sewage. They don't have it under the wonderful American occupation. How could that be? What are we talking, 5 years since we went in there and they still haven't got things operating properly? My goodness, you know, maybe government, the American government really isn't capable of running things. But, you know, the fact that, you know, that they still have torture, they have total corruption, and this is the government that we installed and we're really running. I mean, how can we, as moral individuals here in the United States, condone the fact that our military is allowing torture to be carried out by the Iraqis upon the Iraqis? Go right ahead, Joel. It's just so infuriating, And where was the outcry from our spiritual leaders, our religious leaders here in America, who are supposed to be the moral conscience of my nation? And it's deafening in its silence.
Well, you know, the scandal was originally brought up, excuse me, by the trade minister, Sudani, who, you know, was involved in taking kickbacks for all the food aid that's being brought in. And but, you know, al-Maliki is really embarrassed by this because it was the legislative branch rather than the prime minister's office that originally brought down the trade minister. And a closer look at the anti-corruption campaign of al-Maliki suggested it is directly related to the parliamentary election scheduled in January. Nothing pleases voters as much as a serious anti-corruption campaign. Other believers, however, that believe that al-Maliki is being forced into these steps to show that he can stand up to Samari, and there are, you know, competitors for the prime ministry, and they're also close to Iran. Samari is believed to be close to Saudi Arabia. Maliki came out with loud words against Saudi Arabia this weekend. So there's kind of a tension building up between the Saudis, who are supporting certain governmental people to oust al-Maliki, and the Iranians, which are behind al-Maliki. So a lot going on, you know, behind the scenes here. Well, there's something very rotten in Denmark, actually in the auto bankruptcy deals. You know, GM is closing 17 factories, at least to begin with. There'll probably be more. As you and I have pointed out in previous interviews, they're going to start importing cars into America from their China factories, which they're building, even as they're laying off more than 20,000 U.S. workers. Now, I'm not particularly sympathetic to U.S. auto workers because of the huge compensation packages that they get, you know, averaging out, including benefits, to some $85 an hour. I mean, this is just, you know, unconscionable in today's recession that people are fighting for these kinds of jobs. And of course, the pension system is overbloated because you're paying, you know, people 60 to 80% of their other wage, which was overblown, and keeping that going.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Joel Skousen, right here. The American Freedom Network.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
A female listener to KHNC is looking for two female roommates, preferably 45 years and up. She has available one bedroom with cable TV and all utilities included for $440, and a one bedroom no cable, all utilities included for $425. Shared extra large bathroom, fenced yard, and pets are negotiable. Call 970-667-0710. That's 970-667-0710. Large living room, family room, and great neighbors.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest, Joel Skousen. We've got about 5 minutes here for you to finish the program.
Well, let's try to cover this bankruptcy problem. You know, it's amazing, Stan, how in a single crisis a relatively free market system of laws can be overturned in a matter of weeks into a complete socialistic system without any debate in Congress. Now, that's the power of using a crisis to generate change. And, you know, we have seen that there's virtually no resistance once the media and Congress tells the American people we've got a crisis of mammoth proportions. We have no choice but to print money, bail out, do whatever it takes to solve this problem. And it's just simply not true. This government orchestrated bankruptcy will cost the taxpayers not only millions at the outset, but continued millions. I mean, think of it this way. GM, through bankruptcy, is able to, they had $172 billion in debt and $82 billion in assets. I mean, that is a 2-to-1 ratio. It's incredible, Dr. Stan, that creditors would keep loaning GM money until it's, you know, to this level when its debt doubled its assets. So now, of course, all of the stockholders of GM, whose stock essentially went to less than a dollar a share, are out. And there are new shareholders, which include essentially the unions. And this is where, you know, the government simply doles out and gives, makes winners and losers. And they simply start to give stock to other people. And so you have the bondholders getting, a pittance after losing all of the money in bond. And we're not just talking about wealthy bondholders. We're talking about pension funds in cities and counties around the United States that have lost everything, and the repercussions of this, you know, are going to be horrendous. You know, bankruptcies are inherently unfair because, you know, everybody gets loses something, but there's supposed to be some order and according to how things are divvied up by law in bankruptcy, and those laws have been blatantly disregarded by Arthur Gonzalez, the bankruptcy judge who also ran the Enron and WorldCom bankruptcy. I think he's an insider. I think he's a control judge that they go to when they want the rule of law to be disregarded, because he certainly has done that. Now contract law has no meaning anymore. I mean, these people, look at the dealer problem, the closing of dealership. GM closing 2,000 dealers and Chrysler closing, you know, almost 1,000. They claim there are too many dealers competing with one another. But who cares? It's not the business of the manufacturer to determine. The point is, the majority, vast majority of these dealerships that they're closing arbitrarily are profitable. So why should they be stopped from continuing to be profitable? Why should they be denied the right to sell cars? If they're unprofitable, they're going to go out of business on their own. They don't need the company to come in and say, you know, you can't do this. But, in fact, there's more to this. There's other criteria. It's not profitability. And there's egregious breach of contract. The dealers are not party to the bankruptcy, so basically bankruptcy can't take away the contracts. But they're doing so because the courts are not enforcing the law. But now we're finding out that there are political motives behind who gets kicked out. A good deal of these dealers were contributors to Republican candidates in Congress, and most of the others were not contributors to any political candidate at all. In other words, they're looking and seeing that, look, if you weren't supporting the Democratic establishment, you know, you're out of here. And I think there's some great evil going on with these bankruptcies that people aren't talking about.
And the greatest hypocrisy is when Barack Obama says, I don't want to run the automotive industry. Well, then why is the government telling them they have to close down the dealerships? And so obviously they're picking which dealers are going to be put out of business, you know, and they're actually telling them they have to do away with certain lines of their cars, the Hummer and the others. They tell them they have to close down. They've got to come back as a leaner and meaner company, you know, lean and efficient. What they're really doing is doing away with the jobs and transferring automotive production to China. And the average American just can't see what's going on because it's so ridiculous. Why would our government want to destroy our automotive industry? And the answer is we want, of course, to build up the industry throughout the rest of the world and limit it here. And it just doesn't make any sense unless you understand the globalist agenda.
Well, to be fair as well, we must say that unions help destroy this industry. unions, when you, and I have no problem with voluntary unionism, but when you give unions the power to exclusive bargaining contracts and that you prohibit an employer from hiring replacement workers, then you have given the power, too much power, to one side of the contract. And every industry that has those kinds of protections about union contracts dies. There's no exceptions unless they voluntarily cut back on their power to coerce the employer.
Yes, but we're going to reward the unions by giving them a significant part of the stock there. The unions should lose out completely when they go into bankruptcy and lose their pensions and lose, you know, their health care benefits. And we're not doing that. We're rewarding the unions for their corruption.
No, that's absolutely true. The Barack Obama administration is giving them, I mean, look at the Chrysler Fiat deal. It isn't Fiat itself. There's a, you know, 60% of this company is a new company created by Fiat, which is actually a health care trust, which is rewarding the union health care, you know, system to be the majority owner now in Chrysler. This wasn't a Fiat deal at all. This was Fiat fronting for a new company, which was a creation of the government in secret dealing with the unions and with other Democrats. And so that's what stinks about this whole thing. And then there's the issue of paying off at 100%. You know, J.P. Morgan and Citibank are getting 100% of their money back that they loaned GM, a stunning $6 billion. I mean, this is just illegal to reward, you know, two banks of the hundreds of banks that were privy to bonds and loans to GM and Chrysler, to give them back all of their money and let the others take 10 cents on the dollar or 5 cents on the dollar.
But who's putting up the money for it?
And, of course, it's the U.S. taxpayer that
we are transferring our wealth to the major banks that created all of the problems.
And these are the banks that got bailout money as well.
Right.
And so now we're getting a new bailout infusion of cash. That's why I've said time and time again, these whether it's the banking system, whether these bankruptcy, it's all the same. Is they are rewarding the insiders with the deals, the people who have been part of the Democratic establishment. Now, the Republicans would have done the same thing. Bush was no better than Obama.
Oh, we're out of time, Joel. God bless. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Good news. The March of Faith Ministries presents Pastor Samuel Santos. Come and hear Pastor Santos, the man who died twice. In a 22-year span, he has been in three airplane accidents. 19 years ago, he fell on the ice and lost his memory totally. Doctors told his wife because of his age, he would never be normal again. This testimony can make a great impact in your life. In the last 15 years, Brother Santos has been used by God in a mighty way in the communist country of Cuba, establishing Bible schools all over that country. In the last 2 years, 2008 and 2009, he graduated 2,638 students. Pastor Santos will be speaking at the Berthoud Community Center, 248 Welch Avenue at 7:30 p.m. June 5th and 6th. The Johnstown Town Hall at 101 Charlotte Avenue, 7:30 p.m. June 12th and 13th. At the Milliken Town Hall, 1101 Broad Street, 7:30 p.m. June 19th and 20th. And in the Town of Meade, 441 3rd Street, June 26th and 27th. For more information, call 303-883-5674. Our friends at the Wild Bird Center take this special time to remind listeners that our children and young adults are our future. That's why we need to educate them on the dangers of drug abuse, so take a moment to let them know you care. That's from your friends at the Wild Bird Center, where Candace Stewart and her staff are always working to make our area a safer place to live for our youth. For the highest quality products and friendly service, committed to education and conservation, call today, 303-758-7575. That's the Wild Bird Center at 1685 South Colorado Boulevard in Denver. Mention you heard this community announcement. They wish you a happy Memorial Day. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, and I hope you enjoy our conversations with Joel every Friday morning, but this whole thing is just so disgusting. What you are seeing is the very people who created this problem. The major banks, they're the one who created this whole financial crisis. Of course, they work in concert with the Trilateral Commission. If you go into the 87 members of the Trilateral Commission here in the United States today, whose names do you find? Why, the people who control Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, was a member of the Trilateral Commission until very recently. These are the people who work behind the scenes, and it's not just them. It is this whole group of globalists, but the financial institutions are involved with the globalists, but you see they are strong occult foundations behind this whole movement for world government, which nobody talks about. And until you understand the powerful spiritual forces wanting to destroy the United States, using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about the world government, which is why we have our troops stationed in Germany 60 years after the Second World War ended, and Japan 60 years after the Second World War ended, and South Korea 50 years after the Korean War ended, and why we're going to keep our troops permanently stationed in Iraq. They're not going to bring them home. They're only going to tell you that they're going to bring them home, and then there'll be some reason we have to keep them there. We want our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East. We have an empire. You need to understand what it's really about. You really need Christie. Hear my talk, Economic Hitman, my interviews with John Perkins, who was hired by the intelligence agencies to go throughout the world trying to get countries into debt so that we could control them. And, of course, we have another book he wrote, The Secret History of the American Empire. We have an empire. We can't let the common people understand that we have a ruling elite, an invisible government, the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read my book, you need to get it, The Brotherhood of Darkness. We actually have a new syllabus. It has all the names of the people who are involved in this. Membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. And certainly a lot of these people maybe just be sucked in. It's a way to rub shoulders with people of great wealth and get ahead. But the leaders of this organization know what it's all about. It's all about a world government and the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation and the impoverishment of our people and the transferring of our wealth and manufacturing overseas. You need to get my new talk. It's called Financial Armageddon, and the syllabus that goes with that, the Financial Armageddon and the syllabus. And you'll see the speeches by Andrew Jackson and by Congressman McFadden, who incidentally was murdered because, of course, what he was doing, trying to expose his chairman of the House Banking Committee. All the evidence is he was murdered. There were two unsuccessful attempts on his life before he died in 1935 or 36. And then, of course, Congressman Wright Patman, the chairman of the House Banking Committee, trying to get the truth out, and you'll never read their speeches anyplace. They're all in the syllabus, Financial Armageddon. In fact, we even put things in there from the Congressional Oversight Committee appointed by Congress to monitor what they're doing with the TARP funds. They can't find out what they're doing with the TARP funds. The $700 billion, all they do is get the runaround for government officials. The representative of Congress can't find out what's going on. You need to understand what's really taking place and help us to get the information out. You need my talk on the forbidden secret, the Brotherhood of Darkness, Financial Armageddon. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. So until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, understand, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Got a home project in mind, but no idea what kind of tools and equipment you'll need? No worry. Grand Rental Station has knowledgeable...